So a former Oracle employee, Paul Francelli, who was at one time senior director of contract services at Oracle, filed a QITAM, or a whistleblower lawsuit, alleging Oracle knowingly defrauded the government by overcharging agencies for products and services under their GSA schedule. The Justice Department yesterday announced it officially joined or acted as an intervener in the case. This means Justice believes there's enough evidence that Oracle did something wrong to join the case. Now, let me give you a little perspective about what this means more broadly for Oracle. I looked up how much business Oracle does with the government, and according to USAspending.gov, Oracle received about $3.6 billion in contracts. Of those, most are direct sales, meaning Oracle to the specific agency, and a good portion also comes from resellers. Now, the Navy, the Army, and actually GSA's Federal Technology Service, which, even though it's labeled that way, it all falls under the Federal Acquisition Service, which includes the schedules contracts, are among Oracle's largest customers. Now, I've left several messages with Oracle to get some comment, but as of airtime, I've not heard back from them yet, and I'll continue to pursue comment.
And at least in the journal story that I saw, they basically said no comment. So,
correct. A lot of people that I've seen as well have said Oracle did not respond to requests for comment, but, you know, we got to see what they
Absolutely.
Say. I mean, that's important.
We're trying, and we'd love to hear their side, because there are two sides to every story, for goodness sakes. So, Justice Department, they're intervening in a whistleblower case. How does this work?
So, what's going on here is they're jumping in and saying, we think there's a problem, and we believe that there's enough evidence to say we're going to prosecute this, and potentially civil or criminal charges could be filed. Is this unusual? It's becoming more regular, and according to experts I spoke with, it's becoming pretty scary for a lot of contractors. Mm-hmm. Larry Allen is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, an industry association representing many GSA contractors. Oracle is a member of the coalition, and Larry hosts a show on our station.
This is a time in our contracting lives where the Department of Justice, I think, is anxious to attach its name to any case that it feels has either merit or the likelihood of a cash return for the government. Whether or not there's actually any basis for the case is another matter. I think that there's misunderstandings or general lack of knowledge about commercial business practices, particularly as they pertain to software. And what this really is about is trying to have some people to seeing if they can hold contractors' feet to the fire. This is kind of a season in which it's open season on contractors.
Allen says Justice alone has opened about 200 cases looking at violations of the Trade Agreements Act. Now, this is a separate issue, but he's using this as an example of the type of aggressive behavior he says DOJ is taking with federal contractors. Now, I also spoke with Bill Shook, a partner in the law firm of Shook, Doran, and Cole, and his firm represents companies in contracting matters with the government. He says the lawsuit against Oracle is another piece of evidence that Justice and the GSA Inspector General are pursuing cases against contractors.
We're seeing an increase in pre-award audits for the renewals of GSA contracts. GSA contracts are five-year contracts that are renewed every 5 years. The Inspector General has increased the number of pre-award audits, and they are looking at past performance under the prior 5 years and using the evidence gained therein to suggest that perhaps there were violations of both the price reduction clause and the pricing disclosure clause of the what is known as the CSP chart, the commercial sales practices.
He adds many of these cases started years ago, and now only after the subpoenas have been issued, you're seeing the cases going to court. Now, I also talked to several other experts on background that didn't get permission from their current companies to talk, but this is what some of the things I'm hearing. One says these aggressive actions by GSA's IG and the Justice is coming because during the Bush administration, there was little oversight. Sources tell me that companies tended to get a little bit sloppy, and Justice is realizing that there's some potential here to get some money without too much effort in terms of, you know, proving without a doubt that a violation has occurred, because many times vendors would rather just say, you know what, I'll just pay you off, admit no guilt, and end this. For instance, EMC Corporation paid the government $87.5 million in May to settle a false claims lawsuit that started back in 2009, and Network Appliance in March 2009 paid the government $128 million to settle another false claims lawsuit. And Oracle? They had one of their own before. In 2007, they paid the government almost $100 million to settle a False Claims Act suit brought on them after it bought PeopleSoft.
Yeah.
So these things are growing, and I think the Justice Department both says we have an opportunity here to right some wrongs, but also there's a potential for payouts.
But and two sides of this story, again, I know in industry, a lot of concern about what this might do for industry as they approach the government market. What have you been hearing about that?
Well, both Allen and Shook believe that the effect that this lawsuit and other actions could have a very chilling effect across industry. Allen says there's a lot of concern among contractors about what he calls aggressive behavior by auditors.
I don't know that it will take a specific adverse finding before some companies will just decide to maybe get out ahead of the putative curve and decide that, you know, maybe the best way for us to sell into the marketplace is indirectly through systems integrators or other resellers. There are significant costs here, and while some of these companies do good business within what we understand is the government market, commercially, their government business pales in comparison to their total sales, and they have to do a cost-benefit analysis to see whether or not continuing to do business as a prime contractor in this market makes good business sense.
And the challenge there, of course, if you're doing business through integrators, guess what? There's a cost to that. There's an additional cost to the government.
Correct.
And that's the concern.
And don't forget, remember in 2007, both Canon, EMC, and Sun decided, you know what? I don't think I want my GSA schedule anymore. This is too difficult to deal with. Now, all three of them have come back, but you know, this just shows you companies, large companies, Sun Microsystems, which was bought by Oracle.
Right.
May just say, you know what, this is not worth my time anymore. Shook adds that the increased oversight will cause companies, as you just said, to spend more time, more money on compliance, especially monitoring how it meets the price reduction clause, which says the government shall get the best price the vendor offered to its commercial customers. And that cost, in turn, as you said, get pushed right back to the government, making all the prices just rise up, and the government in the end pays more.
And this is one of the real unique challenges with schedule contracts, because there is that price reduction clause, which has a provision where you can go back and audit
five years. That's what now the irony of this is, if you remember, the price reduction clause was recommended by government officials in the multiple award schedule panel to get rid of it. Yeah. And the GSAIG, I'm being told, is not real happy with that recommendation. So that's still before the new Federal Acquisition Service Commissioner, Steve Kempf. Hopefully, he may make a decision in the near future.
So both Mr. Allen and Mr. Shook, did they offer any advice for contractors if they find themselves in this situation? Because there's a lot of aggressiveness right now. What do they tell them, folks?
I think there's several things contractors can do. Shook says vendors should take this lawsuit and others as fair warning.
They need to be completely compliant and completely clear on their disclosures made to GSA when negotiating a GSA contract, and be very careful about when the price reduction clause will be effective. I think that it's fair to say that not all contractors in the past have been careful with their disclosures and careful with their explanation as to how they understand the price reduction clause to be implemented during contract performance. And if you are going to be on the GSA schedule, you absolutely need to be crystal clear on that point in order to proceed and go forward.
To be clear, you say be careful on disclosures. Disclosing what specifically?
The GSA contract solicitation requires that either a reseller or a manufacturer disclose what they refer to as commercial sales practices. And that is the lowest price offered to the various types of customers that they sell to, including all rebates and concessions. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and uncertainty as to what a most favored customer price is, including rebates and concessions. And the only action that a contractor can take would be to engage in complete disclosure.
Shook says complete disclosure means companies should test their commercial sales practices before they submit terms and conditions to GSA. Vendors should make sure all their statements are completely accurate, which goes without saying, it seems like, which means also understanding what the sales factors are. Now, this can be harder for companies whose pricing policies, as Shook calls them, are diffuse throughout the company, which means salespeople can sometimes reduce prices based on certain clients. Other times, salespeople have to stick by this is our price list and this is the way we'll do it. Now, Larry Allen adds that vendors should place as much importance on compliance as they do on business development, which means money. And even though a company, you know, like Oracle may be fined, you know, could be fined as much as $100 million or more, and that may not be a lot for a company that has like $18 billion in cash on hand, it does affect their overall profitability, and that's why they should look at both business development and compliance in the same light. And finally, Allen says regular training on compliance issues is a must for employees.